From the many realms of Azeroth to the great dark beyond via the magic of podcasting, this is episode 48 of The Rolling Restart, a World of Warcraft podcast for you, for me, and for my co-host this week. He is my second favorite engineer. I'm sorry, no engineer outclasses Chief Engineer Montgomery Scott. He knows who took home the Peter Brock Trophy. If you don't know what that is, you likely don't live in Australia. And last but certainly not least, he recently learned that not only is the pen mightier than the sword, it can really hurt when you stab your hand with one. It's MacGyver!
Oh, I had to mute off to stop myself laughing during that intro. You Twitter stalker, man. You've been digging deep into my past. This is great. Wow, I've been reminded of all the cool stuff that happened in the last few weeks. That's awesome, man. Thank you. It's great to be here.
It is the secret sauce to my special intros is just going down a Twitter timeline. It's amazing the stuff that you can dig up. So I need to know really quick. You need to explain to me.
Yes.
How did this pen get your hand? The world must know.
Well, when I'm at work during the day, you see, I spend a lot of my day on the phone. I'm a team leader for a service desk. So I direct my troops in phone battle, and often I have to make calls on their behalf to, you know, smooth the waters as you do. Now, I'm a fiddler, so when I talk on the phone, I get up and I wander around, and it drives my wife mental, and it probably drives my work colleagues mental as well. Now, in order to stop myself wandering around, I have taken to fiddling with stuff in my hands, like fidget cubes and such, but today I had a pen, and the cap came off, and somebody came along and asked me something, and I put my hand down on the pen, and the pen was at 90 degrees, not parallel with the table, and I stabbed myself in the palm. And it hurts like billy-o, as we say. So, yeah, that's probably the most ignominious thing that could have happened to me this week, and you pulled it out for the intro. So, thanks, man.
Hey, I try. For this episode, we are now 2 months since the launch of Battle for Azeroth, essentially, which is crazy to think because, and you were just telling me this right before we hit record, it doesn't feel like it's been 2 months.
No, it definitely does not to me. I mean, here we are, we're only a week or so at the time of publication, or maybe a week and a half away from BlizzCon. Yeah. It's been out for 2 months, and it's feeling like a long time ago, but almost yesterday at the same time. It's this weird thing. So, yeah, it doesn't feel like it's been 2 months since release.
No, it really doesn't, and it feels like, to me, it feels like half that time. It feels like only a month, and yet at the same time, you know, I take a look back on it, and I realize I have been raiding for at least 5 weeks, and I know that because my oldier raid buff is up to 5 stacks now from having that Azerite piece. So I know I've been raiding for at least 5 weeks. It's weird to think that can be the case, but that is where we are right now. And of course, something that was established back in Legion was this timer that, and there was this little thing known as 77 days, otherwise 11 weeks, where roughly, at least for most of Legion, it seemed that every 77 days we would get more content in terms of a new patch. And that kind of all goes around to, I think, the center, at least the starting point of what we're going to be talking about today, because when I was talking to you about, like, well, what do you want to talk about? Where do you think we start? You said that for you, there is something that's really concerning you about Battle for Azeroth, and it's not Azerite armor.
No, it is not. Now, if people hearken their minds back to the last time I was on this show, you'll remember me talking about the legendaries back in Pandaria and how I never did get my legendary cloak, or maybe it was the time before when I was on, and I kind of resigned myself to, you know, that's not for me. I kind of got over it. It was like, yeah, I could go for the legendary, go hardcore, but, you know, I decided that, you know, that's just not for me, this expansion. I don't feel like it's a necessary thing. I can get over not having the legendary cloak. I'll never be able to get it again, so be it. Now, this kind of feeling usually comes around about towards the end of the expansion where maybe you don't feel like you're up to date or you've caught up. Now, this is pretty much the first time I've ever really felt this at the beginning of the expansion, or what I would consider to be the beginning of expansion. I'm starting to feel like I'm really getting behind. I always tried to run at my own pace, but the thing that concerned me the most is everybody's already starting to talk about 8.1 and posting spoilers, and it's up on the PTR, and this is what it's going to be called, and these are the raids, and these are the bosses. I've not even scratched the surface of the 8.0 content yet. And
people are going to be talking about 8.2 at BlizzCon, Moo.
and that's what concerns me even more. I'm like, okay, I've decided to do it at my own pace, but is that pace too slow? I have fear of missing out. I have FOMO fever, and I'm not normally prone to FOMO fever. I really am not, and it kind of concerns me that I am feeling the FOMO fever, maybe even more so than having the actual FOMO fever itself. So what do we do? What do we do about this? This is what I'm hoping I can try and answer for myself here tonight.
All right. Well, you know, I've heard of FOMO before, and I've heard of the fear of missing out, and it seems like it's a relatively simple concept to grasp just by understanding the words fear of missing out. But just because I like doing research, I decided to look up fear of missing out on Wikipedia and see if they give a more in-depth description. And I want to see if this necessarily applies to you or not. So according to Wikipedia, and we know the internet's always right, but fear of missing out, or FOMO, is, quote, a pervasive apprehension that others might be having rewarding experiences from which one is absent. This social anxiety is characterized by a desire to stay continually connected with what others are doing. FOMO is also defined as a fear of regret, which may lead to a compulsive concern that one might miss an opportunity for social interaction, a novel experience, a profitable investment, or other satisfying events. In other words, FOMO perpetuates the fear of having made the wrong decision on how to spend time, since you can imagine how things could be different. Would you say that kind of fits you?
Wow, that kind of is scary at how, maybe even more so than I even realized. And I think that kind of defines it in a lot of ways. I wouldn't say it's that severe, but I think,
well, unchecked, we're talking about video games here, of course. So.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it certainly left unchecked. I could see that this could be debilitating in some ways. Now, I'm certainly not at that stage yet, but a lot of that stuff really rings true. Yeah, I do have a bit of a fear of not being current, well, not completely current at least, because I kind of don't want to be spoiled for story. I kind of want to be on the same page that everybody else is in. I do like being in that shared experience, and I think in a lot of ways that kind of nails it. That's okay. Good night, folks. That's it. We're all done. Problem solved.
And it's interesting because what you just hit a very important point as far as how this relates to things in Warcraft, and that is with the story pacing. So I think it's fair to say that this game is designed for tons of different play styles. There are people who play this game for a variety of reasons. This has been brought up on this show and many other WoW podcasts in the past. You have your raiders, you have your people who just like to do professions. I apologize, by the way. you have your people who are into pet battles. You have your people who are weekend dungeon warriors, and you have others who, even though it's a MMO, it's mostly a single player experience for them. So you have all these different play styles, but one thing that I don't feel the game accommodates to, and I don't know if it really can just by the nature of what it is the fact that the story is ever growing. The story is ever progressive. And unless you are somehow able to play the game and keep yourself entirely off of the internet outside of that, you're going to know what's happening with the story and how it's progressing, whether you are keeping up to the pace of the story content or not. And that's kind of the key thing, because 8.1, of course, and I don't really know how much you know about 8.1, but suffice to say, 8.1 carries the story of Battle for Azeroth much further, especially in regards to the conflict between the Alliance and the Horde. Things are going to go down. Big stuff is happening. I don't know if you've heard about this two-faction different experience raid that's happening. But with the story going at its own pace, I feel that while everyone can kind of play the way they want to play, keeping up with the story of World of Warcraft is probably, if I were to say there's anything to really have a fear of missing out on, it's being there for those first experiences of the story the same time that most of the rest of your peers and friends are experiencing it.
I think you've pretty much hit the nail there, mainly because there's just so much story and because it's happening separately with both factions now. Whereas before with the Legion, everybody kind of experienced the same story at the same time. And I actually kind of talked about this with Kevin on the Dark Moon Herald, that there's just so much there, and I really do want to get all of it. And story is what gets me and keeps me in Warcraft. It always has. I mean, as much as I love the people and the gameplay and it's all a lot of fun, the story is what compels me to keep coming back. I want to know what happens next. And I really want to know, you're right, at the same time that everybody else does, because I remember back in the day in Pandaria when the Vale of Eternal Blossoms got destroyed, mm-hmm. and people who came in after that happened never got to see it before then.
No.
You know, it's something I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to go down, and I kind of want to get up to date at least in the story before the next big, you know, shoe drops. And you're right, that's really what I'm fearing missing out on, is the experience of kind of being on that edge of the story and not knowing what's coming quite around the corner before it gets spoiled for me, because I don't like being spoiled. And yes, I have been trying to avoid spoilers, but obviously I'm not going to avoid everything. But, you know, the mechanics of a raid being separated by faction, that is less important to me than finding out ahead of time about what Queen Ajara's plans are. And I know that she's coming and she's got plans, presumably, but that's all I know so far. And I really don't want to get spoiled on that before it really happens.
So I guess one question I have for you then, you're going to be attending CouchCon, as you mentioned.
I am.
Which by the time people are hearing this, is just a matter of a week and change away. When the Warcraft portion of the opening ceremony comes up, what will you be doing? Will you be watching? Will you be listening? Because I have a feeling they've already mentioned on Twitter that they will not be talking about 8.1. So if they're not talking about 8.1, they're talking about what's after that. So here's this weird dilemma, man. For someone who loves World of Warcraft so much, and you're going to be checking out BlizzCon, are you going to tune into what's next, or are you just going to be like, la, 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 I can't hear you?
Well, what I am going to say is that I'm hoping in the next week, or at least 2 weeks, that I am going to be catching up a great deal. Mm-hmm. Because although, yes, I have been playing very much at my own pace, and work for both of us, for myself and Nat, in the last probably 2 months, unfortunately, pretty much since Battle for Azeroth launched, has been pretty crazy for the both of us, and it's left us very drained, exhausted, and tired, and not conducive to long play sessions, unfortunately.
I can relate.
Yeah, exactly. And so our play experience lately has been very bite-sized, and I'm hoping that, given in the last week we've had a bit of a re-energization and kind of picked up, and it didn't feel so grindy. We felt like we're actually making progress, that I'm hoping we'll have caught up a considerable amount in the next couple of weeks. So I'm hoping that, but I mean, I am compelled to watch. I cannot look away. I'm going to watch it. Of course I am, but I will try and compartmentalize what I can and anticipate that the stuff that I've seen or we'll see that maybe I haven't seen in the story yet is going to be really cool when I go and find it. Like tonight, spoiler alert, I found a creepy little girl in Drustvar who invited me to a tea party, and I'm sure you know what happens next, but dang.
Having played it on the beta, yes, I do.
Exactly. And just those little things, you know, I had to pick between a wolf and a man, you know, who would be relieved of, you know, who would win in their eternal battle with each other. Little stuff like that. None of that's been spoiled for me yet, which is great. So I'm hoping that the effects aren't going to be as bad as perhaps what I'm fearing, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe my fear is disproportional to the actual risk. So perhaps I should just suck it up, princess.
I mean, there's a part of me that wants to say yes to that, but I understand where you're coming from. At the same time, it's a big challenge that the team has when they're trying to put this content together, release it at a pace where people don't feel like the game is going on for lulls without nothing to do, and just keep the train rolling. This whole kind of fear of missing out thing, especially with the story of World of Warcraft, it's a blessing and a curse. I mean, remember back in the days of, well, let's just say that, of course, the easiest parts to pick are the end of Mists of Pandaria, the end of Warlords of Draenor,
We
went for months and months where the story did not move. We were stuck in one point of time for upwards of 9 months to a year fighting the final boss of an expansion.
And you don't ever remind me of those days. That was the kind of the other end of the pendulum swing, you know what I mean? Like, and I know that they never want to have that happen again. And I actually made a gag about this once upon Chaos Portal, where what the heck, Blizz, the pace of content doesn't precisely match exactly what I want to do at this precise moment in time. What the hell, man? You know, obviously you're never going to please everybody, which I get. I feel like I'm slightly regretting my decision to pace myself with content. I didn't want to eat the whole cake out of the fridge because I was concerned that there would be no cake coming. Now I find out there's a cake truck that's on its way, and, you know, there's going to be a delivery in a few weeks. I calculated 77 days. It's the 30th of October. So I'm pretty certain we're going to be getting our patch on the 30th of October now. Thanks. And I've got to make sure the cake is finished before more cake arrives. Otherwise, I'm not going to have room for all of this cake.
I'm actually going to say that I don't think it's going to be on the 30th. I feel that it's going to be... I think that 8.1 will drop the Tuesday, not the Tuesday after BlizzCon, but maybe the Tuesday after that, either the 6th or the 13th. That might be a little too late. Maybe it drops before BlizzCon, but if it does drop before BlizzCon, we're not going to see the next raid. And I think they've already said as much. We're not going to see the next raiding content for at least a month or two after the patch drops. So the patch dropping will give us access to, I'm sure they'll have the new Warfront, of course, that story experience going on. And we'll have, you know, more island expeditions and stuff like that. But I don't think that the whole raid thing will come up just yet. So you still have some time.
I mean, you've got people who are you know, seriously raiding, and they want to be raiding in the new content the week that it comes out. And, you know, if they're going to BlizzCon, they're not going to do that. So that makes a lot of sense. That probably just gives me an extra week to do it then. And I've got the Friday and the Monday off before and after BlizzCon. So, hey, there's 2 days of gaming I can get in.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just got the sad face from my wife because she's not going to be here on the Monday, but never mind. Oh, on the Friday as well. Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, she's working that day. So, yeah. This is the problem.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, I think the team's committed to a certain release schedule, and unfortunately, each of our personal lives can't commit to life going at the pace that we want it to go. And I don't think it rarely ever does. So you just, as a team developing in the game, you try to find the rate that will please the most people.
Yeah.
And just understand and accept that there's going to be portions of our community that think that this is going too fast. There yeah. are probably going to be portions of the community, although be it much smaller, they're saying it's taking too long. I remember thinking, wow, we haven't heard anything about 8.1 yet. I literally thought this, not that I wanted 8.1 right away, but I'm like, by this time after Legion, we had already heard about Return to Karazhan 7.1 yeah. and all that. We haven't heard about 8.1 yet. Well, here we are now, 8.1's on the PTR, 8.2 is going to be talked about at BlizzCon. And I think this anxiety you have over stuff going too fast, I feel that at BlizzCon, a whole lot of people are going to join you, because at yeah. that point, if 8.1 is still on the PTR, even if it's still on the PTR, if it's been out for just a week or two, once people are realizing, hey, we haven't touched 8.1, or we've hardly touched 8.1, and now they're talking about 8.2, I think that moment's going to get a lot of people to realize, whoa.
Yeah. And I'm going to clarify that as well. I'm just going to qualify my statement. I don't believe that the content is necessarily coming too fast. I'm placing the fault not with them, but with me for making the decision to not go faster. So I feel like that's a very different thing. So the pace of the content is the pace of the content. I don't feel like it's too fast or too slow or whatever. The pace is what it is. But I am somewhat regretting my decision to not go so fast. And some of that was circumstance, some of that was decision. But I put that down to me. And if I'm not keeping up with the content, then, you know, in reality, it's probably more likely to be my fault. But, you know, I've got to just deal with that and figure out what to do, and I'll probably just play a whole lot more if I can before now and then. So probably stay up a little bit later at night, assuming everything's fine. So yeah. Assuming I'm not falling asleep at the keyboard and micro sleeping myself off cliffs, like I mentioned to Kevin last time I was talking to him. So yeah.
Can you imagine if we had this pacing 10 years ago in Warcraft, when we all had a lot less to do in our lives and things weren't as complicated, and we were a bit younger and a bit fresher and were able to play 5 or 6 hours a day every day?
Well, I can certainly remember that the 0 to 60 pace took months, not weeks. And we've done 10 levels. I mean, I did 10 levels in the first probably 3 weeks. And that was really going slow, right? I know people who are, you know, level 120 the next night. It isn't the same as what it used to be anymore. We don't have that entire world of content. We've just got a portion. And I guess I just want to make sure that if I can, that I can reach at least the part of the story where, at least in the world on both sides, I'm kind of up to date, I've explored the world map, and there's no further story, and the daily quests become the daily quests again. Oh, and that's the other thing. I'd really love to be able to unlock a warfront, because right now I don't have the eye level on my gear to unlock a warfront, and I really want to do one. And I don't want to wait until patch 8.1 to do a warfront for the first time. Man.
So I guess when it comes to that, and I think you'd mentioned to me before we recorded that at the time you were at item level something like 302 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. What am I now? I'm not much higher. I think I'm about close to 310, maybe 307, okay. 308, something like that. We're not making huge jumps in gear level. Like the pieces that I'm getting are like, you know, 5% upgrades, 10% upgrades, things like that. They are coming, but they are coming slowly. So, yeah, it'll get there.
If you have your character is on Earthen Ring now, right?
Yes, my character is on Earthen Ring.
Before I get rid of Inscription, because I'm pondering getting rid of Inscription, and maybe we'll talk about that. Before I get rid of Inscription, I will make you a Dark Moon deck so that one of your trinkets has a 355 item level slot.
Oh, that would be really nice. I know that Nat is actually a scribe, and are you able to make Dark Moon decks? You are. Can I have a Dark Moon deck, please? Oh, wow. Okay. I guess that's your answer. That'd be great if you could make one for me. Thank you. Oh, she doesn't have enough expulsum. The cry of the crafter. Right. I need more expulsum.
And you know what? Let's go ahead and shift gears to that, because I feel like we should talk a little bit about professions, because 2 months ago, you and I were kind of, we saw what the data mining showed. We know what was happening with professions. And I feel that you and I had a fairly positive outlook at what was happening with professions in Battle for Azeroth. We weren't really critical of it in any way, because we hadn't played it yet, and we didn't really realize where the situation with professions stands. So now, given the amount of time that you've been able to play and where you are at with the game right now, have your feelings about Battle for Azeroth professions changed, and if so, for the better or the worse?
Well, I can certainly say that the pace of leveling the professions feels glacially slow right now. I've made 85 levels of 150 in engineering so far. And that was because last night I was so close to the next little tier of schematics that I just dropped like 5K on Monolite, and I was like, okay, it's gone from 50 gold a piece to 30. I'm just going to buy a bunch and just level it for a bit just to get to that next tier level so I can make some useful things. And I did that and I felt better afterwards. But I'll tell you what, getting once again, and this is a frustrating thing that always seems to happen with professions, is that the interesting stuff you can make with the professions is outgeared by the stuff you pick up while you are trying to level to get the stuff that you need to make the stuff that the professions make. You know what I mean? I feel like you should be rewarded by taking a profession for being able to get a little bit of a heads up on the stuff that you might pick up in the field. You know, if I can pick up item level 300 stuff in the field, I shouldn't be, just doing daily quests. I shouldn't be able to craft with a huge amount of mats a 285 piece that immediately is redundant. You know, you don't need it. I feel like you should get a little leg up for putting in the hard yards and doing the work and making things with your profession, you know, as well as being able to sell it as well. I mean, you could even make it soulbound, fine, whatever, you know, make it bind on pickup. I don't mind, but I would like to get a little leg up for having put in that work. Whether that'll ever happen again, I don't know. But I did try and make the point when I was leveling engineering, like a very, very long time ago, like in BC time ago, that I would try and make things as early as I possibly could to get that leg up. You know, I would make a parachute cloak that had good stats compared to the other stuff that I was getting picked up at that level. I'd make the trinkets. I would make the gnomish death ray, that kind of thing. And it really did help. It felt like a reward for having put in the time to make this thing that now I have an advantage. Whether that's a game-breaking advantage, debatable. But I'd like to see a little bit of a return to that, please. I'm sure the blacksmiths and leather workers of the world would agree with me.
I think a lot of professions could agree with you. Taking a look at engineering, blacksmithing, tailoring, leather working, looking at those professions first. This might apply to other professions too, but I think one of the biggest problems with the design of those crafting professions, and this has existed for a few expansions now, is that our mentality when a new expansion comes out is, what's the first thing we have to do? We need to level. We need to get from where we're at to where the max level is. And Legion took the concept of making obtaining recipes be placed in stuff that you have to do through like content in the game. And I think the reason why they put the recipes where they did in Legion was because they understood and realized that the first thing that people do, or at least the first thing a majority of people do when they are playing this game now, is to hit max level. And so then after that, they work on professions. So if they're working on professions after they hit max level, the most logical thing for us to do is let's put the recipes inside dungeon content. Let's put the recipes inside raid content. That's why Legion was crafted the way it was. And people hated that, or at least a very vocal portion of our community did not like that. So here we are now in Battle for Azeroth, and the pendulum swinging the other way. The recipes aren't locked inside dungeons, which is great. However, there's different kind of getting to how you get this stuff. And for some people, it's that professions has been a slower leveling process for them. Whether it's because materials are harder to come by, hello Expulsum, or that materials are gated by certain forms of content. Hi, Hydra cores. I freaking hate you. It's an interesting design problem, because I feel that back in the earlier days when I was playing WoW, especially in Burning Crusade and Wrath of the Lich King, professions felt like they meant more, or they had more of an impact while I was leveling up. I very much recall using my professions as I leveled, and it felt like the two went together hand in hand. It felt like professions were an essential part of your leveling experience and your growth. Now that professions are kind of this thing that's on the side, you don't really need them, but they help if you have them. They don't feel as important or as tied to our characters as they used to be. And because of that, I think they kind of suffer when it comes to how to design them, because if professions aren't meant to be seen as that important, that vital to the characters, then the professions are designed in such a way so that players don't have to feel like they have to mess with them. But for people like you and I, professions are everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you're known for your profession.
Well, that's certainly true. And look, I sympathize with this, because I remember the days of Wrath of the Lich King when if you were a raider, if you were a top-end, pointy-end raider, you had to take a profession, a mandatory profession. Okay, you must be a jewel crafter because you get extra ring sockets. That's mandatory. You want to be on our raid team, you're the tank, you're a jewel crafter. That's it. You don't get a choice because of that profession bonus. And they had to pull it back from professions giving such a bonus that they became mandatory for the bleeding edge competitors. And unfortunately, once again, bleeding edge raiders, you've ruined it for the rest of us. and so they had to dial professions back to a point where they weren't required. They didn't give you that much of a bonus that the bleeding edges wouldn't take them. And as we know, bleeding edges will take every single tiny little bit that they can, even if it makes a 1% difference, because they are the 1%. And so, that's why professions are in the place that they are, and it's the holdouts that are doing it, the people who really want to make money with them and the holdouts. And that's fine. I just really like to be able to craft gear that isn't already redundant, you know? That's really all I want. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm still going to craft my goggles for transmog. There's just that's what's going to happen.
Of course.
So it's fine. I'm always going to make them. And things like the guns as well. Like I've got a few more levels yet to go before I can craft the guns, but there's two crafted guns I really want to get. There's one it's obviously the Horde gun, because it's got, you know, spikes and stuff on it. And there's the other gun that clearly it's a Kul'tiran gun, because it's a cannon. It's literally a hand cannon. And I love both of them, and I'm going to make them for transmog, but I really would like to be able to actually use them. That'd be nice.
I think the question is, how do you make professions more useful? How do you make them more interesting? Given that the system is set up how they are right now, what has to be done in order to kind of fix the problem? Without necessarily going back on anything that they've done or changing anything they've done, instead of like trying to change the rules, what can you add to professions in order to make the system a bit more interesting? I feel that professions need to give an edge to your character as you're continuing player progression at max level. And perhaps one way to do it without affecting the raid scene, because one thing that I've thought about is, well, just like you said, Bleeding Edge raiders are going to go for every advantage whatsoever to improve their character. What if crafting could give you bonuses or abilities or stuff like that that apply in all forms of Warcraft that are outside of the most competitive stuff? So let's say they aren't effective in raiding, they aren't effective in Mythic Dungeons, but hey, when it comes to like doing island expeditions or doing daily questing and stuff like that, they're going to give you a bit of a fun edge, kind of like along the same lines that abilities that your champions would give you for your order hall. You'd pick a certain champion to follow you and you get an ability. For those of you who have been following along to this podcast, you may realize the thing I'm talking about right now is the same ability proposal I mentioned for Azerite Armor at the end of that episode with John. There's a reason for that. Professions need to feel like they give your character a bonus or that they give you an edge. They need to feel like they're worth the time invested in them. And I'm talking about that outside of just using them as a moneymaker. One thing that has really, I think the thing that soured me the most on professions right now is that one of the things that I was most excited about for professions is that each profession basically had the ability to create their own form of follower equipment for your mission tables. Have you looked into this stuff at all?
I have, but once again, I'm a little bit behind with my mission table.
It's fine.
I've basically got the three, I'm going to call them starter. I've got the three starter Pokemon mission guys. And I haven't actually proceeded any further time. I did get two new, what do they call them? The not contracts, the they're not work orders. They're the things that you get to open up. I think they're new bases in enemy territory. So
I know the part you're talking about.
Yeah, I've made honored with the honor bound tonight, only just tonight. And I literally picked them up and I have the missions there. But of course, all my followers are out on missions already, so I couldn't send them anywhere. Now, so I haven't really looked into this any further yet. But that having been said, I don't think that the profession system is devoid of this kind of stuff. Something that I did find, and a pleasant surprise as well, was that one of the engineering grenades that you could create, which had an area of effect damage, at lower levels as you were leveling, was actually really, really effective. You could lob this grenade called the FRIED into a group of mobs and it would like pull their health down by half. It was a really useful, handy thing to have. The cast time was enormous, but you know, it was good for an opening breakup of the group and that kind of thing. And that felt good having that there. It wasn't game-breakingly powerful because you could only craft a limited number of these particular grenades, but it was a nice little bonus. And I've reached the tier now where I've actually tinkered a plasma shield onto my belt, which I'm sure will come in very handy for those times when I get swarmed by mobs and my pet tank dies and I have to, you know, head for the hills and my my feigned death is on cooldown, you know, which happens a lot lately. But, you know, those sort of things I find it doesn't have to be a huge out of the road, like out of left field bonus or, you know, something game breaking. Just a little perk, something that actually feels useful. That's what I really like. And I think if you're going to balance it like that, I'd like a few more of those kind of things. And I think the pendulum is it's on the way to coming back to center. I'd like to see more of it, but, you know, I think it's on the way back.
I think engineering kind of suffers the least from the issue that I'm talking about. Inscription. Let me talk about inscription.
I'll hand you the mic and you take the stage about inscription.
Okay. And this actually kind of ties into our earlier topic too. I got inscription max leveled and I was happy about that. You could craft cards for Darkmoon decks. That was great. And that was awesome. for all of 2 to 3 weeks. I say that because once people were raiding in Old Ear, people were, you know, quickly finding the point where, hey, I don't need the 355 item level trinket anymore. Casters were aiming for different trinkets in the Darkmoon decks, and the only Darkmoon deck that seemed to have any value, at least on Earth and Ring, is the one for, I think, melee DPS. The tank trinket was okay, but the healing and the caster trinket, they were an item level trinket, and they were okay, but they weren't the most preferred trinket for most specs and stuff. So their prices began to tank and tank and tank, and the profession was making less and less money compared to the time that I would invest in gathering the materials for it, grinding out viridescent ink, all that stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, Darkmoon decks aren't going to be that great for much longer. What else is there besides Darkmoon deck cards? The answer is not too much. There were the contracts for reputation gain. I'm like, okay, that could be a moneymaker. People are going to do the rep grind. Everyone wants to hit exalted for the bonus like gear and stuff like that, or maybe amounts and something, or people are at least going to hit revered because they want to unlock flying in maybe 8.2.
yeah, maybe.
So reputation contracts, that should be a pretty good moneymaker, right? Not so much.
No.
Because reputation contracts require only the two lower level tiers of ink, which is fine, except that that ink is so abundant when you are gathering herbs and milling herbs and stuff like that. I literally have over 2,000 bottles of ultramarine ink right now.
Oh, man.
And I'm not going to go through. I will probably be, if I were to keep Inscription, and I don't think I am, but if I were to keep Inscription throughout the course of this expansion, I'll probably end it with like 10,000 bottles of ink. My bank box will be overflowing with ultramarine ink. Everything will be dyed a deep shade of blue. And for someone who plays Horde primarily, this does not sound like a great idea. Now, so the contracts aren't great because they aren't the mats required to make them. It doesn't take too much. Now, it's great for making contracts for guildies and friends and stuff like that who need help with the rep grind. But for money making, not so much. So the last thing for Inscription is Old Ear runes, Vantus runes, to help with progression.
Yes.
I mean, this is the thing. This is the important thing. Everyone who wants to min-max their raiding experience, they're going to get a Vantus rune or an Old Ear rune to work on their next boss, right? I mean, here
you would think so.
Yeah, here we are 5 weeks into Old Ear. Those Vantus runes should be flying right out of the auction house. They are not. People aren't buying them. And I think it's because they don't have that big of an impact that they are worth the price that costs to make them. Yeah. I think it takes 10 of the highest tier ink to make them. And because the mats are so prohibitive, people just aren't interested. They're like, it's only a 0.5% increase. And unless you're a bleeding edge raider, a 0.5% DPS increase, it isn't going to mean much to you, so you're just not going to buy them.
Yeah.
So here I am right now with a profession that, you know, I leveled the max level, and I don't really have anything to make that's of worth the much value. I can make scrolls of lockpicking with all my ultramarine ink.
Well, look, if we get as many lockboxes as we did in the last expansion, you may find this to be a little bonus that you didn't expect, but yeah, I get what you're talking about.
It's just kind of an issue where with engineering, there are these little bonuses and things and stuff like that, but with Inscription, and I think this applies to some other crafting professions too, there just isn't much of anything at the end that's worth crafting, whether it's because the gear becomes obsolete in raiding or that the stuff that you're crafting, there just isn't a demand for it right now.
No.
The only things that are in demand are like food tables and cauldrons. And speaking of cauldrons, cauldrons for raiding requires hydrocores.
Oh, yes, of course.
And hydrocores are locked behind mythic dungeon content or heroics. The heroic bosses, they did make a change so that hero bosses could drop them at the end of a heroic dungeon, which was needed. But even still, there is a good casual section of the player base, Heifert, who gathers together the raid two nights a week. And maybe they don't run dungeons as much. So for a group like us, we're in a weird position where we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to be able to make cauldrons and use those cauldrons in our raiding experience because we need every bit of an advantage we can get. But at the same time, we don't have the time to run dungeons to get hydrocores to make cauldrons.
Yeah, it's that old. This seems to... I seem to remember this being a thing from Cataclysm where in order to raid, you had to do the dungeons, and in order to do the dungeons, you had to do some other thing, and you ended up setting up this big chain of stuff that you had to do just so you could go and raid. And I remember there being a bit of a revolt against that, unless I'm remembering incorrectly. But, yeah, having and you could always say, oh, well, it's not a requirement that you have a cauldron, but, hey, it's an advantage that is... not insignificant. It's and the people who are more likely to want to be taking a more casual approach to it would probably prefer to have the assistance of the cauldron rather than the bleeding edges who maybe don't need it.
Well, the reason why the cauldrons are great is because for the people that don't have the time to spend gathering materials or money to purchase flasks, the cauldrons are there to help them out because that way they don't have to do the flask grinding themselves. Making a cauldron requires like 12 flasks and stuff like that. But then that final ingredient, the hydrocores, ugh.
Yeah, I've got a couple of recipes that need the hydrocore, and I'm very pleased that they now do drop from the heroic bosses because I feel like mythic of either level should be not something that is required to make a profession go all the way to the very end. I mean, we've had boss drops of materials before, you know, going all the way back to Burning Crusade and even vanilla, and that's fine, but. When you make it a thing that maybe a casual profession person isn't necessarily going to be able to get, you're really limiting the scope of people wanting to do that profession, which I think is a bad thing. Also, I think professions need have necessary color that gets added to the game.
Also, I just thought of this. I realized this. Inscription has no use whatsoever for Sangua cells. Blizzard, please tell me why I am collecting Sangua cells off of raiding content when I cannot use them for any freaking thing for inscription. I'm sorry. It's so weird that 2 months ago we were talking about professions and I was excited and I was hyped. And here we are with professions and I'm feeling a little betrayed because I've played this system and it doesn't feel good. And the problem is I don't know what you do to make it feel much better. I know one thing that you could do to make it feel much better. Let us craft follower champion equipment that actually makes has a purpose.
Yeah.
That actually yields results. Most of this, and I'm going back to this because this is one of the things that really irritates me about crafting. All the professions can pretty much make a piece of follower equipment that you equip your followers with. There's no other follower equipment in the game outside of stuff that professions can craft. Outstanding. That's great. That's awesome. But when the materials to make this stuff are so prohibitive and the bonus that you get from them doesn't feel like it's even worth 1/5 of the time required to make the thing in the first place.
Yeah. Why I mean, even bother? I mean, I'm not even making them for myself. I mean, the thing that popped up for me was, oh, I can get fish, extra fish. That's great. Extra fish is great. Oh, I can get a little bit of bonus Azeroth on missions.
And that okay. only happens one out of 20 times, though.
Exactly. I mean,
the proc rate on that stuff is so minuscule.
Exactly.
You hardly ever even notice you would have the equipment in the first place.
Yeah, and it's disappointing because, I mean, surely, you know, increasing the drop mode or even making it a guaranteed drop, it wouldn't have to be a large amount, but a little bonus would be great. I mean, you still need the war resources to send people on the missions. It's not like you can just, you know, endlessly grind it without doing any other work or gain a huge advantage. I mean, everybody's going to eventually, you know, we're eventually going to get to the point of, you know, everything dropping 2 million points of Azerite, just like we did in the for artifact power. It's going to happen. I'm sure we all know that. But, you know, it's not going to give us that much of an advantage starting off here. So, I don't know. And I mean, aside from just squishing up all the fish into oil and cooking with it, I mean, what else? You know, what else is there to do with it? I mean, fish. Who cares? Not interested.
So, I've taken a fair bit of this episode to rant and complain. People thought that I might have been done with that after my episode with John. And for those of you who are still here, I apologize that I'm ranting so much on professions. And before we wrap up, I want to take this thing and turn it into a direction that's ideally, hopefully, a little more positive. And that is to bring up a question that I've attempted to, I think, bring up with everyone that when I'm having them on the show. Mm. And that is, fear of missing out aside, and for me, profession woes aside, Moo, what are you enjoying about BFA right now?
I mean, as much as I love the Horde and I love Jurassic Park, you know, Zurassic Park, as I said the other day, I'm really, really loving Culturus. The whole place just really, I don't know, there's something about it that's just, it's hitting all of the buttons I really like. It's got this good mix of this high fantasy with a little bit of steampunk and a little bit of the dark kind of gothic horror and, you know, just enough pirates sprinkled in to kind of make it interesting. And I'm really enjoying it. I want to spend like all of my time there. I've basically based myself over there and I'm kind of doing all of the quests and doing the war bits that don't require war mode and PvP and all of that. And I'm just really enjoying it. And if I have one complaint about Culturus, it's that they finally got this dark night, day-night cycle going, and it's really actually properly dark at night, but I can never see Culturus in the day, which is a bit of a shame because I'm always playing nighttime US time. But aside from that, I'm just really loving what they've done with Culturus. The story, the environment, the landscape is just I'm just enjoying it more and more and more. And I think that's probably why I've been playing more recently is because I've kind of finished Zul'Zadar and now I'm kind of moving on to Culturus and opening that up and I'm just enjoying it more and more the more I play it. So I'm going to have to definitely get on and start playing more Alliance because I really want to see where this story goes.
We're going to solve one of your concerns right now. If anyone from Blizzard is listening, I don't think they are.
Oh, of course
but
they
here's
are.
Here's what we do. I feel that engineering needs to be able to craft a toy that allows it's like it could be a goggles or a special set of specs or glasses or something
yes.
that allows you to see 12 hours into the past or future so that if you play normally in nighttime, you use the toy and you can play as if you're viewing the place in the AM instead of the PM or vice versa.
I am horribly embarrassed that I did not even think of such a wondrous device. I really am. And we already have something similar to this, the Inky Black Potion, which I'm sure you've probably played around with from the Dark Moon Fair.
Oh, those are great.
They are great. And I used them in the old world and places where it was very bright at night when I wanted to play properly in the dark. And it was great being able to turn that on and off. And you don't have it break game mechanics. I don't want to cheat at the Stranglethorn Fishing Tournament or anything like that. But I would dearly just love to see Culturus in the day for a change. It'd be wonderful. And that would solve my problem. There's your solution.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that it's not really going to impact gameplay at all. It's just a visual change. I'm sure you can adjust color boxes and sky view differently for different players. Heck, some people didn't see Argus in the sky for a while in Legion, while other people did. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't feel that's technically a very difficult thing to do. So, all right, so we have that. There's one proposed solution for Battle for Azeroth woes. We make glasses that can change the view of day and night.
Yes.
Okay, we've made progress there.
I like it.
What I am enjoying about Battle for Azeroth is, again, something that has been getting a lot of flack and woe or disinterest from a good portion of the player community. And this just goes to show why Battle for Azeroth, why just because you don't like something in Battle for Azeroth doesn't mean that everybody doesn't like it. And that is Island Expeditions. From the start of the whole thing, I've been enjoying Island Expeditions. Even though the reward system is how it is, I enjoy the discovery and learning that there were ways to kind of improve your loot chances with certain bonus pieces of loot. I still enjoy the pace of Island Expeditions, as frantic as they may be. Do I think that there should be expeditions that you can go at a bit of a slower pace? Sure. Yeah. I think there's a place for that. But I like what expeditions are. I think they're great. I think they're fun. I think using the items from doubloons are awesome. There are people who don't like expeditions because they feel too samey. Those issues are going to be addressed in 8.1, and the placement of mobs is going to be changed in 8.1, and I think expeditions are going to get better. But from the beginning, I'm loving Island Expeditions. They are a great way for leveling up my Warlock right now. I've been running Island Expeditions, and for people that are wondering, well, how do I get gear? I get gear by queuing up for a dungeon in between the Island Expeditions, so every few expeditions or so, I'm doing a dungeon run, and I get a piece of gear or two, and I keep up with leveling that way. But yeah, Expeditions to me have been one of the biggest successes of Battle for Azeroth because they're keeping me engaged in playing. The storylines and the questing and stuff was great. I played the Alliance side in beta, so I know most of that, and I saw the cinematics after they were out. I've done the Horde story. I was happy with that. So I'm at a place right now where I don't want to play those stories again really on alts. If I want to level an alt, I just want to do something that's simple but still engaging and fun. Expeditions are hitting that spot for me. So to Jeremy Fiesel and the other people working on Isle Expeditions, understand that while there are a lot of people that may have been critical of different aspects of the system, I think you guys did great with it.
Yeah. Now, Island Expeditions, I haven't played too many of them yet. I did find them very challenging. If I was to make a change to the expeditions, I'd like to see it go larger than just three people. I'd like to see a bit more of a battleground style and see what happens with the AI in that. I mean, I ran into that clever AI that had that blood elf. Oh no, it wouldn't have been a blood elf. It would have been a night elf rogue that wasn't running. It was jumping constantly and jumping around behind me and trying to stun lock me. And it's like, it was making me mad, like in a PvP match. I'd really like to see more than the 3-on-3. I'd like to see like maybe 10-on-10. And you could get together like almost a raid style group and hit like a giant dungeon and hit an island expedition, make it feel more warlike. I feel like that'd be really cool. And again, I tried the island expeditions and I was still not fantastically geared, but you know, I barely won on, you know, normal mode. I don't even know how crazy it would be on, you know, heroic or mythic mode. That'd just be nutty. But
where I'm at right now at 358 item level, heroics are easy, normals are a pushover, and mythics are fine.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like I just need to get every on and gear a bit better.
Yeah, I feel that there needs to be a little more incentive in the difficulty levels. Like, there should be a bigger reason for why you do Mythic compared to Normal and Heroic. I don't think that Vanity stuff should be locked behind the difficulties. I think all the difficulties should have access to those. But a little more incentive to run Mythic would be great, but it's not a deal breaker for me by any stretch of the imagination. I'm excited about the changes that are coming in 8.1 for it, and I'm sure they're going to mention even more changes for 8.2. With that said, last question before we get out of here, Moo. BlizzCon, what are you looking forward to the most? What's the biggest question you have? What are you most excited about when it comes to BlizzCon? Because it is almost upon us.
Oh, it's got to be Diablo 4. I mean, it's confirmed, right? Yes, I've been following you. We can Twitter stalk as well down here, you know. So, look.
Do you think it's Diablo 4 or do you think it's just something Diablo? Because I don't think it's Diablo 4.
Before they announced the launch of Diablo 3 on the Switch, I would have said, yeah, sure, why not Diablo 4? I think it's more likely to be an extra bit for Diablo 3. I think we're going to see another expansion or another. I think we're more likely to see an expansion or an extension in some way to Diablo 3 than we are likely to see a brand new Diablo 4. Not at this stage of the game. I mean, if they're still releasing Diablo 3 on the Switch, they think it has enough legs to keep it going for a while. And it's been out for a long time. So, you know, I think that's more likely what we're going to see. But as far as what I'm looking forward to at BlizzCon, the surprises is what actually I look forward to the most at BlizzCon. I was there in the audience that magnificent year, you know, sitting 100 feet away from Chris Metzen when they announced Overwatch. And, you know,
that was a moment, wasn't it?
That really was. But that's what stays with me is those surprises. So when they see a gap in the schedule or they come in on stage and, oh, yeah, before we go, and then they announce this thing and everybody goes, what? And everybody's like, oh, I totally called that, even though they didn't, and all of that. They're the moments I actually look forward to the most. I actually find it boring when people pick everything that's going to be announced. It's like, ah, oh, okay, fair enough. It's the surprises I like.
As I mentioned on Realm Maintenance last week, Diablo's not the only place where we could see a big announcement, because if you look at the floor map in Hall C, where all the Warcraft stuff is, there's way too big a blank spot in part of Hall C. And it makes you wonder if there's something Warcraft related that's going to be announced also. And I'm thinking maybe a Warcraft RTS game, like a Warcraft mobile RTS game. That's where I'm going right now. A lot of people would probably find that not their cup of tea. But when Jay Allen Brack said multiple announcements, multiple surprises, rather, one has to think that, well, we know that new content in all the games is never really a surprise. That stuff is kind of expected. So when you say multiple surprises, that leads me to think that it is multiple new things to talk about. Mm. And Diablo's just one thing to talk about.
So just having a look at the map, because I've just pulled it up on my computer here. Yay, internet. So you're talking about the space that's in between the World of Warcraft demo and the World of Warcraft tournament stage and the NZXT and Corsair kind of areas there. There's a big open space in the middle there. You're thinking something's going on in there.
Why would there be that much open space there? That amount of open space is about as big as the open space in Hall D, where I am pretty sure whatever the new thing for Diablo is going to be there.
There definitely is a large amount of space there.
It's big.
Yeah, and I'm casting my mind back to when I was over there. I'm remembering the layout of the place, and there were a couple of places where there were large open spaces for thoroughfares, but that really isn't a thoroughfare, is it? It's kind of in the middle there. It's not where people are going to walk through. So, I guess we'll find out.
Yep. And for those that are interested in checking out some predictions made by myself and other people that have been on this show and such, definitely check out the Realm Maintenance podcast feed next week, where you will find hosts from this show, Kevin Ellis from Hearth Casual, and our friends in other shows on the Frozen Fox Media, the Wargenshow and Loot Optional, will be gathering together for an epic roundtable to talk about BlizzCon, make some predictions, and just get hyped for what, in my opinion, is the best time of the year and my personal nerd Christmas.
I think it's all of our nerd Christmases, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Moo, until the next time that we talk in, I would imagine, roughly 2 months, which will be just before Christmas,
you're going to start making it 77 days between my appearances. I can see this pattern starting to build now, man.
Oh, you found me out.
Oh, man.
Until then, where can people find you on the internet?
Okay, so if you're looking for me on the internet, your best place to go is to Twitter, and you'll find me at Moogiver. That's M-O-O-G-Y-V-E-R. I do not have a regular show anymore, but I seem to be guesting on everybody's shows lately. It's actually been a lot of fun. I am, and it's been a lot of fun. It's really good. But, so that's primarily where you will find me these days.
All right. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Rowow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. And you'll hear all the stuff for finding the show and contacting the show in just a minute. Of course, if you're not listening to us on Spotify, we are now on Spotify. So if that's your preferred app, be sure to put us up on there. And that will do it. And until next time, Moo, I hope that you are able to keep up with the pace, and we'll definitely revisit this discussion in December and just see how you're feeling about 8.1 and 8.2 looming on the horizon.
Yeah, as long as we're all not all madly playing Diablo 4, that will probably be the case. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, folks, until next time, I've been Ro, he's been Moo, and we now return you to your regularly scheduled adventures in Azeroth. Goodbye, everybody.
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here!
It's the end of the show, and that means it's once again time for your weekly podcast roundup brought to you by the Realm Maintenance Podcast. The following is an insanely quick rundown of every podcast I'm aware of that covered a Blizzard Entertainment game and produced an episode between October 15th and 21st of 2018. For General Blizzard Podcast, we have Three Goblins in Trenchcoat, All Things Azeroth, Battle.net News, Battletank, Blizzard Watch, Blue Recluse, Epic Fail, Frozen Nerds, The Game Case, Icy Veins, The Incense, Lightning Balls, The Scrapyard, The Sundering, Torn Think Tank, and Twisted Nerd Blogcast. Your World of Warcraft shows are Adventures in Azeroth, the AIE Podcast, Azeroth Coast to Coast, Azeroth Roundtable, Behind the Avatar, The Converted, Countdown to Classic, Control Alt Wild, Decoded, Dungeon Fables, Frazzlecast, Girls Gone Wild, The Half Hill Report, Lion's Pride Tavern, Lore Watch, Pwncast, Roll Need, Snaxxeroth, Standing in Fire, The Starting Zone, Tankcast, Technically PvP, The Weekly Reset, Unshackled Fury, Whispers of War, WoW Challenges, WoW Talk, and Zephyr's Adventure. Inside the Town for Hearthstone, we have 6 Iron Dusty, Angry Chicken, Around the Hearth, Blizzard Hearthstone, Brewmasters, Coin Concede, The Happy Hearthstone, Hearth Casual, Hearth Coach, Hero Power Cast, Into the Wild, The Light Forge, Legend of the Innkeeper, Off Curve, Omnistone, Talkstone, Tier 5 Podcast, Vowtown, Velms Chosen, Walk to Work, and Well Met. Cool Story Bro, Shattered Soulstone, and Westmarked Workshop are your Diablo podcasts this past week. The Pylon once again covered StarCraft. Heroes of the Storm podcasts include Core, Gankbush Squad, Heroes News with Jewel Scott, Into the Nexus, Lords of the Storm, and the Nexus Trolls. And for Overwatch, we have Blackwatch Report, Roverwatch, The Cavalry, Enter the Iris, Heroes Never Die, High Noon, Omnic Lab, Omnic Weekly, The Overleague, The Overcast, Overwatch League Network, Overwatch Recall, Tactical Crouch, and Watchpoint Radio. You can catch the weekly podcast roundup at the end of this show and during the Realm Maintenance podcast. For links to all these shows and more great Blizzard Entertainment gaming podcasts, go to realm-maintenance.com. You can find this podcast on most major podcast apps. Follow us on Twitter at RestartCast. You can email the show at rollingrestartpodcast@gmail.com. The Rolling Restart is a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions. You can find archives of the show at rollingrestart.frozenfoxmedia.com. The music for the show is Battle for Lordaeron by Neil Acree, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at frozenfoxmedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter at Frozen Fox Media. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.